But actually, I got to go to Jerry first, because Jerry, there's seven essential principles that you must practice as an entrepreneur throughout your business life if you are to achieve maximum success. They have to be taught and repeated, and they have been taught and repeated in thousands of books and articles over the year. Now, the first is clarity. You must be absolutely clear on who you are and what you want. You need written goals and plans for every part of your life. As Zig Ziglar says, you must become a meaningful specific rather than a wandering generality. Barry.
You want me to, well, you refer to that, just that one or the seven? But I'll
follow. No, just that one. It's done. So we'll work on the second, but it's clarity and the quote comes in.
I wrote on that. And you'll all get a copy of it. As soon as we're done, I'm going to send it out to you, and you'll get a copy of reading an email, because he does ask me to send you his best wishes. And, you know, clarity is, first of all, knowing who you are, what your purpose is. Many of you have watched Simon Sinek, read his books, and it's really so profoundly simple. You've got to know your purpose. What is your purpose? To make a lot of money is a purpose, but there's so much more to it than that. It's being the best you can be at everything. That in itself is an incredible purpose. To make up your mind as a human being, Robin writes about this in the notes, so I'm going to send it to you, and then you'll have to listen to me. But it's just make up your mind you're going to be your best self all the time, and even and mostly when you're not in the mood to do so. Anybody can do their best and be their best when they feel in the mood, but when you're not in the mood, that separates you from mediocrity to excellence. That's the difference. If you can discipline yourself to do what you need to do, personally, professionally, business, with your children or your grandkids or your spouse or your significant other or your mother-in-law or whomever he may be, and whatever you do, even if you're not in the mood, you know it needs to be done, you are becoming your best self. That it can't be any clearer than that to me, John. Now, maybe it's interpreted different ways by different people, but that is the only thing that has helped me become what I've become today. And I'm proud of me. I like me. I look in the mirror, and I like the guy that faces me when I see him in the mirror. I trust him. He's honest. He has integrity. He has principle. He's an honor. He's an honorable guy, and he cares deeply about other people. Well, what do you feel when you look in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen? What do you feel? Do you like that man or woman? Are you proud of he or she? Is it clear of what your purpose is in life? And the purpose to be your best self is a great purpose, by the way. I got to tell you, it's a great purpose. That gives you focus and determination. John, look what you've done with your life. Oh, we've been together 30-plus years, and you not only became very wealthy and very successful, but all the great things you've done, your family, your children, everything in your family is done, and you take care of your health. Now, as we get a little older, sometimes people have health issues, so I went to the extreme, and I became a vegan, and I exercise 7 days a week, and I drink only water. Or Paul Edmondson says, grass clippings I eat, and I drink water. It's a slight exaggeration because he sees me eating greens all the time. But I feel terrific. I feel sensational. I don't mind getting up at 3:15 and start my workout at 3:30. That sounds insane, but I've been doing it for a long time. I love it. But it was hard. Oh, boy, was it hard at the beginning. And I haven't had a cup of coffee, John, in 30 years. I stopped drinking coffee. Why? Because even though Gonzo keeps telling me it's good for me, I still... And I'm reading a little bit that he may be right. I didn't know Gonzo practiced medicine. I'm not just kidding, of course. But it's just the answer to your question is that's clarity. You make up your mind that you're going to be your best self all the time. Not just when you feel like doing it, but all the time. You will change dramatically. Not overnight, but you'll begin to feel a difference. You walk with a little bit of a swagger. I say that in the nicest way. You have confidence. When you sit down to rest, you say, "Whew, I'm pooped, but I'm a good poop. I'm a good tired. I feel good." That, to me, took me a long time to understand that. And, you know, I'm not a kid, even though I look like and act like one and I drive like one, which I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that. It's not my fault. the darn Cardinals, way too fast. But I share this with you because I love what we stand for. I love what the purpose of our company is. It's perfectly clear to provide extraordinary services to the disenfranchised people who never, the companies in the industry absolutely won't touch them. They're scared to death of the middle to high risk. And who we've been doing business with since 1971 in Canada, the middle to high risk. And we said, and we service people that swear they would, nothing would ever happen to them. They're guaranteed until it did. And if it wasn't for us, they would be in very desperate situation. They would lose, have lost everything. So you provide, and that in itself gives you clarity of being great service to people. So John, I don't know if I answered your question. I've read his book, and I like Brian Tracy a great deal. I think he's just an amazing guy, amazing guy. One of the few people I haven't met personally. But that's how I feel about what clarity is, having goals and plans. But most importantly, the best goal, in my opinion, you can have is to just make up your mind. You're going to be your best self. You can't be better than your best, but your best is good enough to make you extraordinary. Or as Aristotle said 2,000 years ago, excellence. That is your excellence, is being your best self. Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Back to you, John.
Well, the reason I called on you, Jerry, is because you have the ultimate clarity in everything that you do. You know, after 83 years, you know your purpose. You know our purpose. And as you said, it's always about being your best self.
When I was 38, I had convenient dyslexia. And I got my numbers juxtaposed. I feel like I'm 30. In fact, I feel like I'm 35, but you get the picture. If you love everything, and even if you love things that are hard to love, I mean, sometimes difficult, just do it. You will be stunned and amazed. You will start to change. I mean, I don't know if you get better looking, John, or grow a head of hair. I'm not sure, but I know you'll feel like, I better do it. John, I'm sorry to interrupt. Now I'm going to go take a nap or something, but I'll be on the phone, even though I'll be on the video call, even though my eyes are open. I may be sleeping with my eyes open, but go ahead, John.
Thanks, Jerry. And I'm going to go to Jack. I want you to continue on that theme of clarity that Jerry's been talking about. Begin with your values. What do you believe in and stand for? What is most important in your life? What would you pay for, fight for, suffer for, and die for? What do you really care about? Someone once wrote, until you know exactly what you would do if you only had 1 hour left to live, you are not prepared to live. What is your vision for yourself and your future? What is your vision for your family and your finances? What is your vision for your career and your company? Peter Drucker once wrote, even if you are starting your business on a kitchen table, you must have a vision of becoming a world leader in your field, or you'll never be successful. What is your mission in your business? What is it that you want to accomplish for your customers? What is it that you do to improve the lives and work of the people you intend to serve with your products and service? You need a clear vision and an inspiring mission to motivate yourself and others to do the hard work necessary to achieve success. Jack.
Okay, a lot to unpack there, but I'll try and keep it tight. What the biggest thing that I think about when it comes to a clear vision is basically, it's the saying, I know Christians reference it a lot, burn the boats. Like, if you can identify exactly what you need to do and give yourself no other option but to do it, it becomes a lot clearer as to the steps that take to accomplish the goal that you set before yourself. And it comes down to, you know, like working out. As Jerry says, he exercises 7 days a week. If there's a morning where he wakes up and his part of his identity is he goes to the gym every day, there's no waking up and saying, oh, I don't feel like it today, so I'm not going to do it, because that's not his identity. That's not every day if he misses a day. And by clearly figuring out the things that are the most important to you, are you someone that, you know, is going to make sure you take care of your family? Are you someone who's going to make sure you're active and healthy or eating well or, you know, compassionate to others? If you act out of line with your core values, there's a sense of disgust within your own self. And I use that word intentionally because it's an action word. it's a word that makes you realize there's a significant difference between what you want and what you're doing. So by focusing on doing the things that give you pride and the sense of accomplishment versus the sense of being disturbed and disgusted with your actions, you are definitely going to make sure you do the things that bring pride, even if they may be a little uncomfortable in the moment. Because we've said it many times, discomfort is very manageable. Pain is not. And by doing things that make you uncomfortable, it helps you avoid pain. By avoiding discomfort, it often leads to pain. When you can clearly understand that and focus on the things that you value most, you can really set yourself on a path that's going to take you to the destination you want to be, not where you let the world push you. So I'll throw it back to you.
Oh, that was good. Thanks, Jack.
Does everybody understand when Christian says it's a great theory, burn the boats? Does everybody know what that means? When the Romans, they were the world leaders in their day, we're talking over 2,000 years ago, when the legions went to a country to invade, the first thing they did, John, was they burned the boats. Why did they burn the boats? There was no retreating. You won or you lost. Now, that's a great concept, because when you don't keep holding on to the boat, to the rope, and trying to water ski at the same time, you're in trouble. You got to let go. You got to do it. But when you surround yourself, John, with wonderful people, you can burn the boats. It's a theory, the concept. You can step out and just do it. And what Jack said is brilliant. I just thought that was just a beautiful summation of a very complicated a group of words that you read, John, but Jack said it so brilliantly well that you've got to believe in yourself. And you surround yourself with good people that will help you. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I got so excited about Jack said something that great.
So true. As Brian Tracy goes on, the greater clarity you have regarding each of these issues, values, vision, mission, purpose, and goals, the greater the probability that you will accomplish something wonderful in your life. So I'm going to go to Mr. Bunch. And Mr. Bunch is really, when I began working with him, his focus was on competence. And that's the second secret of success by Brian Tracy. And Joel, I'd like you to address this. And it's a little bit long again, but you have to deal with it. To be truly successful and happy, you must be very good at what you do. You must resolve to join the top 10% in your field. You must make excellent performance of the business task your primary goal, and then dedicate all your energies to doing quality work and offering quality products and services. To be successful in business, according to Jim Collins, author of Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't, you must find a field that satisfies three requirements. First, it must be something for which you have passion, something you really believe in and love to do. Second, it must be an area where you have the potential to be the best, to be better than the 90% of people in the field. Third, it must involve a product or service that can be profitable and enable you to achieve all your financial goals. According to the Harvard Business School, the most valuable asset a company can develop is its reputation. Your reputation is defined in how are you known to your customers? And the most important reputation you can have revolves around the quality of the products and the service you provide, and the quality of the people who deliver those services and interact with those customers. Mr. Bunch.
Quality. I love that, because so often people, our business is a... Our business is a numbers business. It's a numbers game. We have to have a lot of averages. You have to do a certain number of presentations to get a certain average in. If you don't do those numbers, you don't typically do well. However, you can pet a kitten a million times, and you're not going to get anything out of it financially, unless you're building static energy, maybe, for the electricity block. But you have to do something quality. You have to do the proper job. You can walk out there and say, hi, my name is Fred Flintstone and I want to buy insurance. That's not quality. So in everything that we do, the numbers only work out if you do a quality job, if you do the best job possible. The presentations only work if you do the best job possible. Clients only do business with you if you do the best job possible. You only have a good reputation if you do the best job possible. The list goes on. So when I'm out there, like for example, we have sometimes competitions and things like that. My focus is not on writing the most insurance or doing that. My goal and desire every single time I get in front of somebody is just to do the best job for that person. Make sure that I do the best presentation, provide them with the best coverage, whatever it might look at. Last night was a great example. I had this couple who, they weren't super financially well off, but they had seven kids, I take that back. And life hasn't been super easy on them, but they desperately wanted to protect themselves, and they went back and forth talking to each other, and we did the best job that we believed was possible for them last night, and it wasn't the biggest sale I've had. I've had many sales that were much bigger, but I still felt good that I looked after that family, and they have something that they feel good about. And quality, you have to really focus on saying, okay, how can I get better at this? How can I put my pride in my back pocket? Who can I ask for help? Okay, what do other people do? For example, when you first started this business, a lot of people come in here with an ego up, a chip on their shoulder, an ego, because they've come from another business that they were good at. They have qualities. They have skills that they bring with them. They have life experience. And that's great, but if you're not willing to be coachable, you're not willing to be taught, that your own pride and ego can actually be your downfall. If you're not willing to say, okay, like, I had one gentleman years and years and years ago, and he asked to go out with me, and we went out working, and I was teaching him how to do emotional stories, and I said, how you do an emotional story at the very, very end. And he said, oh, no, you've already told emotional stories, and he didn't want to agree with me. And his own pride was, because in his opinion, he knew better, and he was brand new. And at the end of the day, if you think like that, if you think you know better, if you're not willing to learn and grow at any stage of the game, then you're going to go backwards, and your pride is going to get you. Whereas the people who say, hey, you know what, I know lots of stuff. I had another gentleman I worked with not too long ago, and I really appreciate it. He's been so successful with so many different things. Life knocked him down at one point with family, and so he sold his whole business, and then when he got back, he came and worked with us for a while. Really, really great guy. And this guy was willing. He said, you know what, I'm just willing to learn. How can I get better at this? We get out of a presentation. He's okay. How can I have improved that? Nope, I appreciate that. And he was humble and willing to learn. And that guy grew, even though he was so good at so many other things, so much more life experience than I do. I respected that guy so much. And yet he was willing to learn. And because of that, he grew. So all that to summarize, be willing to learn, be willing to grow, focus on the quality, because if you do a good quality work, you will do well and your reputation will do well. There's a great verse in the Bible I absolutely love with working in the community. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. If you have a good name, you'll have that word of mouth, you'll have that reputation with your clients. If you have a good name with your product, you can do business, you can feel good about it. Your clients will refer you, and the money will come on its own. So choose to have a good name over the money first, and you'll have the money down the road. I'll turn it back to you, John.
Well, thanks, Joel, and great comments on confidence. You know, I like what you said. How can I get better? Who can I ask for help? You know your stuff, be your best self, and do your best job. But most important is focus on competence. I'm incompetent in the business. So I'm going to go to Christian. Christian, I'd like you to comment on this. Constraints. Between you and your goal, whatever it is, there will always be a constraint or limiting factor. Your ability to identify the most important factor that determines the speed at which you achieve your business goals is essential to success. The 80-20 rule applies to the constraints in your business. Only 80% of the reasons that you are not achieving your goals as quickly as you want will be within yourself. Only 20% will be contained in external circumstances or people. What are your constraints? What holds you back? What sets the speed at which you achieve your goals? And what one thing could you do immediately to begin alleviating your main constraint? This is often the key to rapid progress. Christian.
Can you hear me, John?
I hear you fine.
Yeah, as you started to read that, first thing came to mind is the biggest constraint is ourselves. You know, it's usually us. That's boiled down to, I think a lot of the time, ego. Ego actually has a big part in what holds us back from growing. What are we willing to do and what are we not willing to do? Because sometimes we, you know, view ourselves as, you know, we're worried about what other people are going to think of us, or we're worried about rejection, and we're worried about, you know, pushing, we're worried about, so these things are what are going to hold us back almost more than anything else. You know, people don't think about us that much, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but, you know, we're all the most important person in our own world, but we're not the most important person in everybody's world. So when we interact with somebody, we have the tendency to think, well, they're going to think about us once we leave. And the reality is that they're just going to go back to the day. They're going to go back to what's important to them in their life. And so spending that time worrying about that or being concerned about that is holding you back. It's holding you back from trying new things, stepping outside of your comfort zone. The way that we think about ourselves and, you know, being scared to bruise our ego by doing something and failing is probably the biggest factor in limiting our growth. We have to try new things. We have to step outside of our comfort zone. We have to fail. We have to fail repeatedly. That's where we learn the most. It's where we, you know, when we take the proper time to reflect, we gain. We gain from that experience. If we just stay safe and we do what we know and we stay where we're comfortable, we're just going to continue to live the same life on repeat. So if we're talking about catalyst to growth, it is doing new and doing things that are scary and having the courage to do it and, you know, understanding that you're still of value, you know, loving yourself despite the fact that you're not getting the result that you want. And that may be days and it may be over weeks and it may be over months. But I think if you look at yourself and are proud of the fact that you are doing something new, and you have a healthy ego when it comes to, you know, the process of growth and understanding that it requires you to fail. It requires, like, that's where you should feel confident, is the fact that you're able to go and do something and not be good at it and still love yourself and still feel like you're valuable and still see yourself as the, you know, as a champion in your life. That will propel you to continue to take those risks. It will continue, you will continue to step outside of your comfort zone. And if you do so, as we've talked so much about perseverance, you will eventually learn. You'll eventually win. And when you go through that experience, you feel good about yourself. And as you feel better about yourself, you see what you're capable of doing, and that grows. It grows. You're able to see yourself doing bigger things, influencing more people's lives, benefiting more people, providing more value to the people around you, to your customers, to the people you lead, and when that happens, well, you're now growing. You're becoming a better version of yourself, and you're capable of doing more and achieving more. But it's that relationship with your own ego that will often hold you back. And if you can kind of understand that it's going to cost you more, you know, one of the most expensive things you can hold is an unhealthy ego. We have to have confidence. We have to have confidence, but there's a difference between, you know, confidence and an unhealthy ego. And if you can understand that and maybe, you know, do a little bit of introspection, it can break some of those constraints in your life that are holding you back and help you achieve what you want to achieve. So I'll send it back to you, John.
Well, thanks, Christian. And it's so true. You know, what you really described is the 80-20 rule and how it applies to constraints in your business. fully 80% of the reasons that you are not achieving your goals as quickly as you want will be within yourself. Only 20% will be contained in external principles, circumstances, or people. And also, again, stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, challenging yourself, you know, challenging the constraints will help you grow. And so it's so true. So I'm going to go to Sylvia. Sylvia, I'd like you to speak to this. Creativity. The essence of successful business is innovation. This is the ability to find faster, better, cheaper, easier ways to produce and deliver your products and services. Fortunately, almost everyone is a potential genius. You have more intelligence and ability than you could ever use. Your job is to unleash this creativity and focus it like a laser beam on removing obstacles, solving problems, and achieving your goals. The essence of creativity is contained in your ability to solve the inevitable problems and difficulties of business life. Colin Powell says, leadership is the ability to solve problems. Success is the ability to solve problems. And remember, a goal unachieved is merely a problem unsolved. Sylvia.
Well, like everybody says, that's a lot. Within each and every one of us, we have that the ability to be creative. Now, that doesn't mean we all have the ability to be a Picasso or to do certain things that involve the arts. But we have an imagination, and we can use that imagination to see ourselves and imagine what life would be like when we do accomplish the goal that we've set for ourselves. And as you spend time with that goal, and playing it over in your mind's eye or on the screen of your mind, because we think in pictures. As you do that, along with a belief in your own abilities, a belief that you are able to, pardon me, come up with a solution to a problem, come up with ways for you to achieve that goal, and allow the genius that is within you out to explore, and they go hand in hand, you'll see your goal clearer, so you will get more clarity, and the more time you spend with it, you'll come up with ideas on how to accomplish that goal. Now, that doesn't mean that we spend time on saying, how could I do the presentation differently? You could say, spend time, how could I do the presentation better? But because we've already designed our system and it's been tried and tested and it keeps working, the only thing that we have to think about is how can we do that better? And then being creative as well as to how we can accomplish the goal maybe in less time. For example, if you make it part of your daily practice to spend time with yourself, in meditation, prayer, creative thinking, you will come up with ideas of maybe somebody might come into your mind that would be a center of influence. Somebody that maybe they don't need our program, they're very successful, but they're a person that knows a lot of people, and if they refer people to you, you've got a great chance because people respect that person's opinion. So that when you're in a town and the center of one of the big center of influences, his name's Mr. Brown, and you visit with Mr. Brown and you ask him, you know, I just want your opinion on this. If I could explain how our program works, Mr. Brown is going to say, wow, that's a great program. You need to go see, you know, Bobby Smith, and you need to go see this guy, and you need to go see this woman that's just started a business, or that person will give you referrals. But it all started by you sitting down and thinking, how could I? How could I do something better, faster, in a better way? And it doesn't have to be the system. It's more about you. Like Christian said, if you do, the better the job you do, the better the results, or Joel, I guess, talking on quality. The better the presentation you do, the better the results that you'll get. So I know we've got some newer people, and, you know, your emotional stories might be okay, and they might get you some business. But if you spend time and imagine how you could tell that story better, have more impact, then you're going to improve your presentation and you're going to improve your results. We all have the ability to be creative. We have a genius within us. We are all connected to the all-knowing that is in this no thing that we think is bare space. This bare space is full of ideas. And the higher you think, in other words, the bigger the goal and the more love, Jerry talked about love, you have to be in that great vibration, the greater the ideas you will attract. And sometimes it's where you're going to go. Often if I don't have anywhere to go, I just look at the map and I allow the genius within me to guide me that says, oh, you're just called to go to ABC Roads. And you go there and maybe there's nothing there, but there's somebody there that leads you to another road, that leads you to another place. But you, number one, you got to believe that you can do this. You've got to believe that you can be creative, that you have that genius within you. Number two, you got to have that goal that you want so badly because it takes effort. But the more you do it, as Jerry says, the more you do it, the more you think about your life being great and focusing on being your best self, each day gets better and the results grow and improve. Is every day perfect? Absolutely not. But in some ways it is perfect. It's just what was meant to come for you that day. And part of your genius is also trusting that you're going to meet the right people at the right time and it'll all come together. It's a beautiful thing. You just have to spend time with it and get understanding on your own abilities. Back to you, John.
Well, thanks, Sylvie, and great comments. And I'm just going to read the last part of this section on credit creativity because it really encapsulates exactly what you said. The way to success is to focus on the solution rather than the problem. Focus on what is to be done rather than what is to happen or who is to blame. Concentrate all your attention on finding the solution to any obstacle that is holding you back. And the more you think about solutions, the more you will think, the more solutions you'll think of. You'll actually feel yourself getting smarter by focusing all your energies on what you can do to continually improve your situation. So thanks, Sylvia. That was great comments. So I want to go to Amy, because when we talk about your concentration and singleness of purpose, I think of you. So I'm going to read this, and I'd like your comments on this. Concentration. Your ability to concentrate single-mindedly on the most important thing and stay at it until it is complete is the essential prerequisite for success. No success is possible without the ability to practice sustained concentration on a single goal or task in a single direction. The simplest way to learn to concentrate is to make a list for each day before you begin. Then prioritize the list by putting the numbers 1 through 10 to each of them. Once you have determined your most important task, immediately begin to work on that task. Discipline yourself to continue working until the top task is 100% complete. When you make a habit of doing this, starting and completing your most important task each day, you will double or triple your productivity and put yourself solidly on the way to wealth.
Thank you for calling up on me, and I'm drilling down to, I'm writing a lot of notes, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to answer, and the most important thing to me is the clients that I have right now, because if they need something, then they are my top priority, and they will receive my best service possible. So that is, sometimes it's eating the frog first, but other times, it's really looking at that issue as an opportunity. And most of the time, it's a tremendous opportunity. And as was mentioned here, it's a tremendous opportunity to serve, to gain referrals, and to solidify the business, and to have new business from that specific client. So moving along, after that, it's really the focus is getting the 5 presentations in. And having the focus and the clarity to provide the best of yourself when you meet someone new and you say, hi, my name is, and you already know, you envision yourself getting that book open before you even step out the car door. So that is, and then, of course, moving in the right direction, the next step is assuming the
application. So it's just it's the clarity of providing the best possible service to clients, but then getting the five presentations in to move in the right direction to meet the new opportunities that you will meet each and every day. I'll throw it back to you.
Thanks, Amy. That's, you know, again, you are the epitome of focus. You focus on clarity, you focus on energy, and you focus on doing the proper number of presentations. I mean, when you get in your vehicle, the first thing you're doing is you're focused on getting your first presentation off, getting out of that truck, that concentration of single-mindedly doing what it takes for you to be successful. So thanks, Amy. I'm going to go to Ian. Now, Ian, I see you there. I'll give you a chance to pull over if you have to. And I'm going to read this. Courage. Winston Churchill once wrote, "Courage is rightly considered the foremost of the virtues, for upon it all others depend. It takes tremendous courage to take the business risks necessary to become wealthy. In study after study, experts have concluded it is the courage to take the first step that makes all the difference. This is the courage to launch in the direction of your goals with no guarantee of success. Most people lack this. Once you have begun your business journey, you will also need the courage to persist. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, all great successes are the triumph of persistence. The word entrepreneur, I always have trouble with that word, means one who undertakes the risks of a new venture in pursuit of profit. Fully 90% of the population will never have sufficient courage to launch a new venture, to start a new business, to boldly go where no one has gone before. You need, first of all, the courage to begin, to move out of your comfort zone in the direction of your goals and dreams, even though you know you will experience many problems, difficulties, and temporary failures along the way. Second, you need courage to endure, to hang in there, to persist in the face of all adversity until you finally win. When you develop these twin qualities, the ability to step out in faith and then to persist resolutely in face of all these difficulties, your success is guaranteed. Ian.
Well, John, courage is working in spite of your fears. And with any type of venture or new opportunity, you're going to fail. The best thing about our business is the people that attract us to the business, our mentors that have already gone through these kind of vicissitudes through their business life. And you can actually, it's like reading a great book. You take that information, process it to make it your own. And the biggest part about this business is your own self-belief. And not mix it with self-sabotage, if you have a willingness to persevere, you have a willingness to win, and you want to do something noble, well, you couldn't find a better opportunity than this. But you need to have that self-belief that I'm gonna aspire to be from good or mediocre to good to great to legendary. And that's the way that you got to look at life, because this business, it's a sprint for 10 years. Well, to me, that's a marathon, And if you do things slowly, concisely, and being able to focus in with that singleness of purpose that we've talked about, this is a wonderful business. You get to travel with just exceptional human beings in our company, with our president's clubs, focusing in on our goals, the task at hand. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going. I just like to get lost. I look at my province as my office. So wherever I go, I'm a walking, talking, moving, shaking business. And there's a lot of moving parts. But I know my 12-step system cold. I know exactly when I get out of my vehicle that I have the intention to open that book and write. And also having a good, self-talk. Being able to, be humble enough to do a presentation before you get out of your own vehicle so you know you're tight. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's ring rust.
But you know what? That's why, you know, Rocky Marciano, when they had that interview, Terry always used to say on the call, you know, after all those punches, like, why do you keep getting up? Well, they don't call you champ if you don't. And that's something. It's a winning attitude, a positive attitude, a mindset to look in that mirror and know that, you know, like Christian earlier said, check your ego. Well, this is a business that, unfortunately, you can have an ego. You need to stay hungry. You need to stay focused. Because realistically, what you're doing is being able to take a problem and find that solution for that individual and provide them, whether it's a 5.5 year or a lifetime guarantee of income. Because when they go to use it, boy, I'm going to tell you, they'll never, ever, ever, ever forget it. And there comes a realm of loyalty. And with loyalty to yourself first is the most impactful part of this business. Being able to go through those tough days, the rainy days, the snow days, you know, working with other people and being able to share those experiences while you're sitting in Santorini or Greece or any one of those places to go, yeah, we got through that fire together. Or I got through it myself and it made me stronger. And being able to identify and believe in yourself, you need that for the ones that you share your goals with, whether that's your mentors or your family or the people that you're doing it for. That irrevocable promise needs to be first set to yourself. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to keep moving forward. And if I have a shitty day, excuse my language, you know what? The next day's a great day. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to fight that good fight. I'm going to do my 5 presentations like Amy. Like, what a killer. Like, that's positivity. That's going out knowing that I have my book open before I get out of my vehicle. That's intention. And that also becomes execution, and you'll find that every new day is a great day. And when you persevere and you gain that confidence, Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now, John?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I can hear you, sir. Yeah, but just having that self-confidence, the belief, and the worth that you're worth more in the future. And what to do now, Pete? Have a great day, and I'll take it back to you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, great. You know, again,
have a good day, John.
Thanks, because you're the epitome of focusing on your goals, focusing on the task in hand, and exhibiting courage in everything you do. Because, as you said, you're committed. You made that commitment. You have the determination. You have the persistence to put in the effort, and as you said about Amy, to do those 5 presentations each day, no matter what. So I'm gonna go to Ruth, and I know Ruth, you're on the phone. So I'd like to speak to this. Top people, especially business people, seem to have these 3 qualities. First, they learn more things. Second, they try more things. Third, they persist longer than anyone else. The good news is that because of the law of probabilities, if you learn more things, try more things, and persist longer, you dramatically increase the probability of that you will succeed greatly. If you launch towards your goal and resolve in advance to never give up, your success is virtually guaranteed. Ruth.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, that all sums up to, again, it's Tony Robbins saying, even though Amy is coining it, massive determined action. Because when you learn more things and you try more things and you're persistent, you've got your eye on the goal. And the secret to everything is to keep your eye on the goal and not have it other places. Just keep your eye on it. It's so simple and so hard to do. But, you know, I was very, very thankful this morning for my friend Ian Banfield on the call, because I know him from Tea Club, and because I just love him to bits, my province is my office, and I'm a walking, talking, shaking business. And what a way to be able to start your day for massive determined action. Anybody that doesn't know, by the way, Ian Banfield, in his first year with a full-time career as a firefighter, wrote over $200,000 worth of business in the province of Nova Scotia in his first year because he was willing to learn, because he was willing to try, and because he was persistent. And because he kept his eye on the goal. And anybody can do that. That's not talent, that is effort. And, you know, new people, the best thing we can all do, as new people or not, is practice the feeling of winning. If you are very in tune with the feeling of winning, it really can make a huge difference. So if you spend time in quiet contemplation, like Sylvie was talking about, and look at the things that you would like to have, the more time you spend with them, the clearer the picture gets. So when you think about having a sale and you have that little butterfly in your stomach, think about that and how that feels, and spend time with that feeling and practice that feeling every minute as much as possible in your day. And it will help you to be persistent, and it will help you to try more, and it will help you to learn. And so I think that. I'm going to pass back to you.
Well, thanks, Ruth. I mean, I was taking notes on what you were talking about, and I ran out of me. your input is great, and you're right about Ian is the, you know, he's the epitome of courage. And he's the epitome of determined action. And as you said, successful people persist more than anyone else. And that's the epitome of success. So I'm going to go to Chelsea. Chelsea, I'd like you to speak to this. Brian Tracy says, my friend Jim Rohn once said, the greatest reward in becoming a millionaire is not the amount of money you earn. It's the kind of person that you become to become a millionaire in the first place. To have more, you must first be more. For you to set out on the way to wealth and become a self-made business millionaire, you'll have to develop many qualities at a higher level than you have ever before. You'll have to become an exceptional person. You'll have to become more than you ever imagined you possibly could be. Kelsey.
Hi, good morning.
Good
well,
morning.
I've already grown tremendously since my journey. I feel that I can talk to all these people coming from graphic design, and I was working at UPS and both working for companies that really complained a lot, and everybody was really, really, really stuck in their station and like feeling not like they were ever going to go anywhere. So to be in this business that's so inspiring to help you become this best person, and by the authors you read and the food you eat and this stick-to-itiveness attitude and never giving up, it's just thrilling, and I love being here, and I'm, as you can see, I'm growing, and I'll pass back to you.
Well, thanks, Chelsea, and it's so true. You know, you always strive to be your best self. You always strive to do what you have to do, even though you have a lot of things in your life that you have to juggle, and I congratulate you on the effort that you put in. I'd like to go to Fred. Fred, you've listened to our clinic, and I'd like your take on what Brian Tracy has to say, and you know, keep it short. Are you there, Fred?
Yeah, well, I'm here. I'm here. No, I'm loving this meeting. You know, I got to say, first of all, you know, I'm very proud to be an entrepreneur, and I'm very proud every day to be a service to entrepreneurs. I think, you know, one thing I start every day out with is I think about the people that we get to talk to every single day. You think about any entrepreneur, they're independent-minded, they're self-reliant, they're proud of their businesses, and they're all proud of that standalone attitude. Isn't that what we all on this call are? You know, proud of our independence, proud of our standalone attitude. Although we're in a community of people that share our beliefs, we're proud of that of our businesses. We're proud of our accomplishments. We're proud of that standalone attitude. Well, think of the people that we do business with. They have those same characteristics. They're proud of that standalone attitude, though. I love that about entrepreneurs. They're proud of that standalone attitude until they get hurt or sick. And then they truly are standing alone. And the government's going to do nothing to help them. Yes, their families might jump out and come and help, bring a bag of groceries, bring a casserole, but we're the only ones that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with this individual every single day and provide them with a guaranteed income until their doctor tells us they can go back to work again. It is remarkable what we get to do. And I'll go right back to when Jerry was talking about the mission. What is your mission? You know, it is altruistic. You know, self-interest always creates a winner and a loser. But in this business, we can be highly esoterical. We can go out every day and work hard on helping this huge underserviced group of people and a very fast-growing group of underserviced people to meet those basic moral responsibilities of feeding the family and keeping a roof over their head. So I think we never can lose sight of the quality of people that we go out and talk to. These are very special people, entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs have to win every day, whereas that employee only has to survive every single day. These are special, special people. And I just love working with them. And I love being of service with them. I always think about what Helen Keller said. If you want to feel good, go out and do good. And going out and talking to these people and being of service to these people, there's no greater mission in my mind than that. I'll keep it short. I'll kick it back to you. I love the meeting today.
I love your answer here. You know, to provide people with a guaranteed income, our mission is to work hard on helping people meet their moral responsibilities of keeping food in the fridge and a roof over their head. And that is our mission. You know, you really summed it up well. And I'd like to go to Adam. Adam, if you could really speak to this. To have more, you first must be more. For you to settle on the way to wealth and become a self-made business person, you'll have to develop many qualities at a higher level than you have ever before. You will have to become an exceptional person. You'll have to become more than you ever imagined possible for you. To realize your full potential and achieve all your financial goals in your own business, you must develop the virtues of integrity, courage, and persistence to a much higher level than you would have up to now. You have to practice the qualities of clarity, confidence, creativity, concentration, and continuous action until they're as natural to you as breathing. You will have to accept complete responsibility for your life and everything that happens to you, and especially for the way you think in every area. Adam.
Yeah, it's a deep one today, John. You know, personal acceptance and ownership of our circumstances is kind of like that magic key to life, isn't it? It's, you know, our joy and our happiness and our fulfillment and our worthwhile and worthiness and all those things, they seem to be, you know, a relationship between us knowing what we need to do to get what we want and then taking action towards that. And that removes that stresses. It removes a lot of the anxiety and probably a lot of the bad habits and procrastination and things like that that stand in our way that cannot coexist with success. And so practicing the characteristics of success is the only real way to strengthen those muscles. You know, how do we know what acting like integrity feels like and looks like unless we're studying it and then trying to apply it? And so, you know, I was reminded when you were speaking there, John, of you know, the term singleness of...
You're breaking up, Adam.
Perfect. It can be so powerful in our... We'll try that. Okay. Is that better, John?
Seems to be. Go ahead.
Yeah? Okay. So
singleness of purpose seems to be a foundational component of all real, every faculty of life that we want to improve on. And, you know, it's a crazy thing because when all real singleness of purpose is like this face-to-face reckoning with our degree of commitment, with understanding what it is that we're faced with, and then in taking action towards it. And when you include the people around you, what you end up having is you end up having support in the areas that you think that you know, you may be falling short. I'm reminded last night at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I was driving home and I got a call from Ian. And since we were talking with him earlier, I'll bring it up again. And I picked up with him and he's at the fire hall last night and he starts and it's, I got, you know, Reggie Nickerson, I gotta go see Chance Colacut, his missus, I gotta get her, she's overdue, so I gotta get her on this thing, I got an appointment at 5:30, so I'm gonna be picking somebody up, and going, and there is this whole play-by-play that's going on, because of singleness of purpose, he wakes up today, okay, he gets on and shares his ideas about what today is gonna be, he has a direction. He has the people in mind. He talks about reciting his presentation while he's in the vehicle. All of these things go into fortify our attitudes and reinforce our convictions that go and are responsible for fueling our actions and our behaviors. So when we are constantly thinking, acting, who is capable of doing this? Who would be better to handle this? Eventually, you are faced with the reality that it's you. And that's a big thing, I'm sure, when someone is unpracticed, that is intimidating, it's scary. When someone has these muscles practiced, acting with integrity, knowing and having an intimate relationship with your goals, reaching out, these behaviors, once they're practiced, they become your strengths. They become what you do that most people don't do. They become what's responsible for your advantage in the marketplace, your advantage in your emotional intelligence, your advantage in, you know, mitigating problems in your life. All these things work in, you know, tangent with one another because they are the characteristics of success. And when they're applied to sport, well, what they do is they accelerate that athlete. When they are applied to the family, home life, they accelerate somebody's ability to deal with the adversities of life. When they're applied to one's career path, they put you in a position to constantly be faced with upwards mobility. Everybody here knows that everything we do today carries weight in terms of what we want tomorrow, down the road. And that's one of the great blessings of our opportunity is that we have to learn who that person's going to be. And luckily for us, we are all in the process of building that person to whoever we want them to be in the future. As long as you understand and you're taking action, you will see the progresses and eventually you're faced with unequivocal evidence. You can't argue the fact that putting yourself in these positions makes you better and then allows you to achieve more, which consistently makes you better. It's a cycle that's self-fulfilling, and it's, you know, I heard a lot of people today talk about their experiences with it, and it's one of these things that once you see it, feel it, and do it, we all give it a lot of credit for the process of becoming. So that's what I heard. John, I'll bump it back to you. Great conversation today.
And always outstanding comments, Adam. But we're running out of time, so we're going to go to Greg.
Well, thanks, John, for hosting this call. It's exceptional. This subject, to me, is a PhD on success. And Brian Tracy does such a great job of breaking it down for us. There's a great quote, and I think Jerry knows who said this quote: success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. And you know who that is, Jerry, your favorite, one of your heroes, Winston Churchill. And you know, when you really think about it, it's the courage to keep going. Failure is not permanent. Having a bad moment, a bad day, we all go through it. The people that spoke today, I promise you, they really understand because they went through the nose. They had their failures. They had their setbacks. But their why, their success, their drive, their goals are bigger than their fears. They let their goals direct their activities. It's so great and refreshing when I see people like Ian, who has singleness of purpose day, waking up, knowing exactly what he needs to do. And if you don't have that strong why, when you wake up in the morning, then you need to work with people that can get you there. Don't feel bad that you can go, how come my why's not that strong? Well, sometimes you need to lean to the person on the left or the right and just listen. Figure out and surround yourself with the people that get the job done, the people that have what you want. If you just listen to them and pick their brain and spend time with them and invest in yourself, make that commitment. Understand that failure is just a moment. You know, put your ego aside. If you really think about it, you know, let's say you make an approach and your worst fears may be that you're not prepared enough, that you're not confident yet about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Just think that in 100 years from that day, that moment, you think people are really going to remember what happened? So, you know what? You go with the attitude, no one's going to really care, especially in 100 years. So while you're here, just be your personal best. That's all we ask from you. Give your personal best today. And that's success. If you can do that, you're going to feel great about yourself. So, John, thanks for hosting this call. I thought it was exceptional. Back to you to close the call.
Well, thanks, everyone, for, you know, all the great comments and the enthusiasm, because, people that are successful in this business because they're constantly thinking and acting and taking action towards their success. So have a great day and a great week.
Goodbye.